It's Tuesday, September 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Welcome to the show, everyone. Got a great one lined up for you.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I am Todd Cochran, your host of the show. And as always, we want to thank all of our long-term subscribers for staying subscribed. And for those of you that are new and checking out the show for the first time, make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com for all the great regular news content on the site, along with all the archive podcast at on the site. And of course, we're fast approaching our 100th show, and we've had a big influx of people signing up for our mailing list. And the reason for that is you have to be signed up to the mailing list to become have the opportunity to win some prizes on 100th show. So if you get over to the site, just look for the Geek Navigation text along below that will say podcast newsletter, and you can sign up to the newsletter. Well, I hope everyone had a good Labor Day weekend. I know that I think that the whole nation is still quite riveted on what's going on in the Gulf Coast. Obviously, the news is absolutely full of the information that is going on down there with the evacuation continuing and starting some of the recovery effort by the armed forces and the local authorities, et cetera, that are down there supporting that. But, sitting here in Hawaii, it's been kind of frustrating because I want to, be able to help and do my part. And I know that many of you have, especially those of you that are geeks, have been saying, well, what can we do to help out? I had a Skype, an instant message from a listener on the show on, I believe it was Friday night, say, hey, I'm working with a shelter. We've got 40 people in it. We've got broadband. Very few regular outgoing phone lines, though. But we do have broadband connectivity and some computers. What I'd like to do is be able to set up some Skype accounts and get some funds in to set up for Skype out calls. So I thought, oh, that's cool. Maybe we can help out that way. So I was doing some calling around yesterday and also on Saturday, trying to see what I could round up. Of course, I couldn't get a hold of anybody at Skype because I was trying to find a way to be able to take donations and directly insert those into specific accounts insert those donations into specific accounts. And it just didn't come together, and I just felt like time was wasting away. So this morning, I went ahead and put on the website a make a donation link. And basically, what we're going to do is that for the next 90 days, any PayPal donations that are made to the Geek News Central website will be utilized for recovery efforts in buying not only Skype out credits for those that are running shelters and setting up voice IP type services, but also to support getting computers or anything else that is needed. Now, I don't know how much we're going to be able to raise, but we'll take every penny and turn that into something that people can physically use. I figure, the Geek News Central website is all about communications. I believe in communicating, and I think that those that are in the most need right now, obviously, that is their biggest struggle, is getting information and also being able to communicate with loved ones. Not only that, they're going to be able to go online and do some banking, their online banking. They're going to be able to take care of stuff via FEMA and all the national agencies that are setting up relief funds and that type of stuff. So I guess I'm going to do what little I can here. And if you feel supporting, you feel it, well, you want to help support this, come over to the main website. You'll see I make a donation link in the major or 2 points on the page. There'll be one on the actual web blog itself and one up in the right hand corner. I've got to get the code changed out on that tonight so that it goes to the proper link. But no matter, all the money that goes will be contributed. Now, if we get to the point where we're able to set something up and have it completely separate, where it goes towards direct shelters and that kind of stuff, I will do that. But right now, they're not quite organized. Some of these shelters only have 20 or 30 people in them, and so they don't have really the computer infrastructure. But most of the broadband companies are offering unlimited broadband, or basically they're hooking up broadband into some of the shelters, so that and doing it for free. And I know there's going to be some companies that are going to be providing voice IP services and stuff like that. But what we're targeting are shelters that are small, that do not have the infrastructure, telephone infrastructure to support the people there, and also the voice IP requirements. Maybe they don't have them set up. Now, I'm going with a lot of trust with people that I'm talking to some people in Houston, talking to some people in Louisiana, doing everything I can to verify that who we're giving money to is legitimate, obviously. And I don't want to be filling someone's pockets that are not going to be giving away donations. I will put something up on the website to give you guys a link for a tracking on who we're giving what money to. I've initially seeded the fund with an initial $100 and actually sent out a $50 donation to one shelter already for Skype Out credits. And as people come to me and there's a need, we'll try to help out that way. So regardless, whatever we don't get distributed for Skype Out funds, anything that we collect over the next 90 days, we'll make sure it goes to a legitimate charity in the relief of Hurricane Katrina. Your support in this would be greatly appreciated. And I figure, you know, it's something we can do. If each of you that listen to this show, I know some of you have already contributed to your charities, and that's good, a good on you. But if I can collect a dollar or two, you know, just $2 from every listener, we could really do, we could really help out a lot of people, and we're going to do our part. But I want to put that out there as a, and I hope other podcasters get involved and do, I know some are helping out with programming and doing stuff for websites, and I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight that covers some of that information. You know, being that it was Labor Day weekend here in the United States, a little bit of a short news night tonight, so probably the podcast will not be a super long one today. But I guess in respect to Labor Day, I should be taking the day off. But no rest for the weary here, especially considering what's going on in the rest of the country. In the meantime, let's save you some money. Make a name for yourself at GoDaddy.com. Reserve your place on the net with your own .com or other domain name. And now, at GoDaddy, each domain name includes economy email, a $9.95 value, free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, my listeners get an additional 10%. Yeah, that's 10% off any order. Just enter Geek3, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 3 as your source code. Thanks for GoDaddy for being the sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, we have this weekend, the wife and I really didn't do too much, but we did attend on Sunday, here in Hawaii, because we have such a diverse culture and there's a large Okinawan community, and my wife being originally from Okinawa, we went to a Okinawa festival and spent a couple hours over there and actually dressed up in traditional Okinawan dress and got our pictures taken. Nice little family picture. So when those get back, I will scan that in and put it up on the net for everyone to take a look at. I did have a couple of emails or some people that are listening to the show that said, hey, can we get a picture of you up? And I'm actually in the process of getting some professional pictures taken too. So what I'll do is when I get that done, I'll dump that on Flickr or something so you guys can put a face to the old geekster here. Also on Saturday, even though that was the holiday weekend, our Tech Podcast Roundtable event took place, and it was terrific. We had a great turnout, had a great discussion, lots of tips and tricks about RSS. We talked about iTunes. We talked about blog lines, a whole bunch of different services that we talked about, including software applications and Dave Weiner's OPML Editor Tool. It was a great event. And we've got something that we're really excited about on what we're going to do on September 24th on our next show. But I'll just hold that for now. Meanwhile, here's a message about GoToMeeting. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at Tech Podcast to stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let the techpodcast.com network listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free trial. Now discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. I received quite a bit of a listener email that I want to go into and get through quickly, but I got a message from Steven, who's using Dell DJ to listen to a podcast. And he loads about 30 up a week and transfers them to his Dell DJ. I am not familiar with the Dell DJ, and I am looking at the steps he has to go through, where he uses Doppler to collect the podcast, and then he uses another application to move them, something called Dubox, Dubox, to move the files to the playlist over to my DJ. And it does take a little too much effort than it really should, and he says we really need a good Windows application to automate the process. So I think I'm going to need to go out there and look at exactly what the Dell DJ is and why it is as difficult as it is for him to move these files. It should be pretty seamless. So if any of you are using the Dell DJ and are doing something a little different as far as synchronization of podcast to that media player, let me know. Otherwise, I'll do a little research this week, a little homework, and see if I can get an answer for you on Friday's show on a better way to do that. And Stephen, thanks for staying subscribed to the show. I really do appreciate it. I've got an email from Alan, who talks about a security system. Now, it's basically you can hook an IP camera to a box and it will transmit the live video or just video based on an alert such as a door opening or even motion sensor directly to your cell phone. A little bit expensive, but for those of you that are business owners that are trying to save costs and where you may have a Brink system or an ADT system, this may be a good replacement. So I was looking at the PDF file that he sent with it, and the actual company name on this is, I grabbed the wrong mouse here, it's called the Perseus, Persus phone. It's for mobile access to security video. I think this is pretty cool for those of you that may have businesses, you travel a lot, you have warehouses, or you want to take a quick look at the office, or, it's a good surveillance feature for those of you that have sites that you have to secure that are remote. So about $2,000, it looks like, the installation charge, and then you can add additional cameras onto it. But if any of you are using the Perseus, Persus phone, let me know. Let me know what you think about it. And thanks for the link to this. I do think it's pretty cool where we've come. I know I remember, I'm going to diverge here a little bit because I know I'm going to have some time at the end of the show. I remember when I was traveling a great deal overseas, in my old house, I had a Logitech webcam that I set on top of my computer. And my computer room was in an office that, if the door was open to the office, it could look all the way down a hallway and into a kitchen. And it could actually look the part of the kitchen where all our cabinets were at. And I had PC Anywhere, I think, running on the computer. So what I would do is I would PC Anywhere into the machine, I would start the webcam, I would let it capture a couple of snaps, I'd go over to a secure website, take a look, just to get an idea. You know, it was kind of cool. Every once in a while, I'd catch the kids in the picture or the wife or something. And I used it when we were doing, before this whole voice IP thing kicked off with Skype, we would just use it for a way to kind of take a look at each other, you know, essentially. And I had it on the reverse side, too, on my side in my a hotel room or wherever I may have been, and the wife could do it in reverse. Well, kind of was able to spy on each other a little bit, I guess. But anyway, I had the camera on one day, and I took a snap, and I'd shut it off, and lo and behold, what do I see? But I see my oldest daughter, actually my 9-year-old, up on the counter into a drawer that is where typically all the sugar, all the candy stuff is at. And obviously she was not supposed to be up on that counter. So I quickly logged off. I was on dial-up at the time. I logged off, and then I picked up the phone and I called internationally back to the house, and my wife answered, and I said, put Anna on the phone. And she got on the phone. I said, honey, what were you doing up on the counter in the candy drawer? Oh my goodness. You know, I think she was at the time, I think she was either 5 or 6. She was in totally awe. Dad wasn't home, but yet she somehow, how did she get caught being up on that counter drawer? And, you know, I think, you know, being the geek I am, I got a big kick out of it, but I think she was pretty much like, oh my goodness, Dad can watch everything. So, you know, this goes a step further with this system, and where, you know, it's gotten to the point where you can look at live video now, and it's really good via remote. So I think it's pretty cool. So a little side story there. I apologize. Oh, so I got a message from Richard, and he has a weblog that he's posting information on. He's found a post on some information that the Army Corps of Engineers had with the levee system there in New Orleans, and being that he is an engineer, he thought that the read was pretty pretty interesting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to link this post that he hooked me up with so that you guys can check it out too. I did take a read through it, and you know, eye-opening material, and I know a lot of that's been going around recently, of course, in the news, but good info, and thanks for the tip and the link there, Richard. Appreciate it. It's going to be in the show notes. Along with that, I've got a message from Dan, and he attended our roundtable on Saturday, but he is he has a blog up dedicated to Hurricane Katrina, and it's at disasterkatrinablog.blogspot.com. I'll put the link up on the show notes, of course. You guys can check out what Dan has to say over there about the some of the efforts going on. Now, I got a message from Tom, and anytime I see a program that has the word localhost in it, it kind of makes me get concerned because of the nature of, you know, when a geek says localhost, that means, especially when you're doing localhost stuff on a PC, that means anything internal to the PC. It's not something that you necessarily want seen from the outside. You know, I don't want someone to have localhost access to my computer, because essentially they're able to get into all the drives and directories. But he linked me to a program called localhost, and it creates a decentralized file system over the internet, which you access through a web browser. Anybody can change any folder in it, and hopefully he's hoping that it will evolve into a useful resource, perhaps an archive of open source software or Creative Commons licensed content. And what's cool about it is the client uses BitTorrent technology and is based off Osiris. So it's at localhost.r8.org. For more information, check it out. And I did a quick look at it. Looks pretty interesting, and definitely has some what I would consider some unique idea. You know, it gives me some ideas on how it could be utilized. But again, localhost.r8.org. I got a message from Viper, and he asked me how I have been lucky to be in Hawaii. And I guess that Viper, it's one of those things where I rolled the dice and was able to hook up and get out here for a while. And of course, we've been here going on 8 years, I guess, now, and totally love being in the islands. Even though the median house price right now is like $625,000, if that doesn't make it wince a little bit, nothing will. Along with that, I got a email from Cordell, and he's basically giving me some info on, we talked a little bit about DVRs and how ads are going to be changed in that people are, you know, obviously fast forwarding through DVR ads right now. And he was watching an ESPN show last Sunday, and he was watching a Indy race. And what they did is they minimized the race and run the commercial in the larger space on the screen. Now, I've heard of this happening already, Cordell, and I think that we probably will see more of this. Now, obviously, you're not going to fast forward through that because the race is continuing, but and they cut the audio out, of course. So I guess that's a way where we won't miss any action. And I just wonder if anyone else has experienced that and what they thought of the implementation that the company's put forth. I do want to thank you guys for all the great email that you've been sending, because, you know, a lot of these emails have great links to a lot of information and articles. And I really do appreciate the good feedback. Some of you may have remembered me talking about Skylook about two or three shows ago, but I did get an email from Tom. He says he's using Skylook with his with Skype, and Skylook is a tool that allows you to record Skype calls, and he's got an article up on it on his website at webfeedcentral.com, and I will obviously link up to his review of the application. My experience so far with that is that it is a little bit processor heavy and utilized. And I've asked the Skylook folks if they're going to be releasing a standalone application that won't have to be utilized with Outlook 2000 and up. And I've been told that they are going to do that at some point. And I'm kind of holding off on using Skylook on a regular basis until it can be decentralized from Outlook itself. Now, I do belong to several mailing lists, and I know that some of you out there may have relatives or friends that are going to be looking for work in Houston, New Orleans, or any of the other states where there's going to be where people are being evacuated to. I've got a whole bunch of links to job openings that are being posted on simplyhire.com. I'll put a couple of these up. It'll be direct links to Houston, New Orleans, and of course one that is dedicated to Hurricane Katrina. Anyway, simplyhire.com is a great site that I like, and my friend Dave over there, thanks for putting the links up to that. And he, of course, is the director of marketing over there, but I did find that on another mailing list. Obviously, I have spent a lot of time so far tonight talking about Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath, and of course, the blog sphere is full of it, including all the tech sites are talking about it. So this is going to lead me into a article that I found on the net that says, being net ready the next time. Jeff Jarvis is discussing it's called Recovery 2.0, a call to convene, and the goal is to be ready. So what he would like to do is he's got 7 points. One, he wants to develop a way to better share information. Two, report and act on calls for help. Three, to help coordinate relief. Four, connect the missing. Five, provide connections for such necessity as housing and jobs. Six, match charitable assets to needs. And this is something that has been really hard, I think, for the tech people to be able to connect with. And number seven, get people connected to this and the world sooner. Obviously, when the infrastructure's down and there's no electricity, it makes it real tough. Obviously, those people have been devastated. They don't have computers in their homes. There's no internet cafes to go to. And the only people that are able to access information are the ones that have been evacuated. And I know that based upon my prior experience of going through Typhoon Omar in Guam and being without power for 37 days, you know, you're basically left on your own. You have to take care of yourself, and, you know, your lives are changed because there's no jobs and you're out of work, etc. So I know this is a big challenge, and I think the tech industry, we've got the tools now. We should be able to make improvements to this, or not necessarily make improvements, but put some infrastructure in place that when this happens again, we're better able to respond, and I agree with this. So I'll put this link up in the site, and for those of you out there in the tech industry, wrap your brain around that a little bit and see what you can do to think about where we can go in the future and improving that and making it, You know, make it all interoperable so it can talk to these different networks. You know, all I see all these networks, 4 or 5 different networks have a list of people that are, you know, trying to connect with one another. There should be one central place where everything's tied together, and hopefully the techs can get their arms around it and we'll have something in place the next time this type of disaster happens. What I did find was totally just blew me away was a web log, and it's part of that at NOLA.com. And if you haven't been over there yet, you need to go over there and visit this. But there is a web log that has nothing but requests for rescue, where people have called out and asked for, you know, here, okay, here's one. Rescue needed at 4068 Fairmont Drive. Name on behalf of S. Mitchell. Gives a home telephone number, the email address, a subject. Talks about who needs to be rescued, how old the person is, what type of home they're in, medical conditions, etc. And I'm looking at this list and it just goes on and on and on and on. And totally amazing that web logs are being used, especially this one, to help coordinate rescues. So, wow, where are we going to go and how are we going to make this more effective? You know, imagine being stuck in a house, trapped, and you're on the, you call a telephone, you call your buddy, said, you know, come get me, I need to get out of here. And there's really, the average citizen's going to have to go and do, you know, probably an hour's worth of research to figure out who to call. Fortunately, the news organizations and stuff have gotten on board and figured out that people are having this trouble. But NOLA.com, check that out. Now, one thing that totally surprised me, and we're going to spend some time on the Katrina coverage tonight, just because there's not a lot of other tech news. We do have some tech stuff here a little later. A personal opinion on this, and well, I won't get into a personal opinion, but I was reading an article over on the Junkyard blog, and there's a overhead view of a bus facility. Matter of fact, two bus facilities. One is the citywide bus system, where there is 146 buses in one yard. And then in another article, there's a shows how many buses are 255 school buses that are in another yard. They're all under, you know, basically they're all in standing water. And the question's been asked, how come the city of New Orleans did not help those that did not have the means to get themselves out, didn't use these buses? You know, I totally amazing. Now, I'm sure they needed people that were driving the buses. I'm sure were trying to get their own families out. But it just goes to show you that maybe next time around, they'll be, you know, cities will be more prepared to use some of their own internal resources to help get people out. Now, of course, I'm not going to the aftermath of this has been kind of slow. Obviously, the response has been slow. And I'm sure all of us that are sitting watching the TV have kind of ground our teeth on this a little bit, or more than a little bit. I know that I have, and I know there's been a lot of pointing fingers. I'm sure over time we're going to see some firings and some reorganization as well. It should be. Yeah, you know, here's something they could have used. All those buses they could have used to help gotten people out, and who knows how many people would have saved, but it just goes to show you that you have to think out of the box a little bit, and I'm sure there'll be 1,000 new ideas and lessons learned, so we'll see what happens. I did find over on thewashingtonpost.com a great video, actually a picture blog, that shows a lot of amazing pictures from that. I'll put that up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Along with that, I found an article in the National Geographic that talks about the Louisiana Bayou and how raising water levels, you know, basically reclaiming the land, and what was used to be, you know, used to have houses sit on it are now chest high in water, not from the flooding, but just from the, you know, the loss of the wetlands and stuff. So I guess we're going to have to reevaluate what we're doing in the world a little bit. Okay, now in the tech front, some techs are heading down there to Louisiana, and they're going to be setting up a low-power FM system that's typically the types that are used for pirate stations. They've been asked by the FCC to do that. They're going to go down there and set up a low-powered FM station and transmit public service announcements and, you know, information to those in the community that have decided that they are not going to leave. And there's a call out now for 10,000 radios are needed with batteries. Of course, battery-powered radios, and they say they need 10,000 radios. This is on Boing Boing. So I'll link this up. If you've got a radio that's laying around the house that works on batteries, make sure you, if you can spare it, package it up and send it off to them and with a package of batteries or three or four or five or six, and see if you can help support them on that end. On a little more regular tech news, Think Secret has gotten the scoop on a whole slew of Apple secrets, ranging from new iPod models to the latest updates on the much-awaited iTunes phone. So pretty good article on that, and they're saying that the iPod Mini is going to be no longer having a hard drive in it, and it's going to be all flash-based. But what I think's odd in this, and we'll see if it comes true in the future, we'll see if Apple actually releases a iPod Mini with not a hard drive in it, is that the price differential from what they're saying it's going to cost. Now, they're saying an 8 gig iPod Mini is going to cost $299, and that's as much as a 20 gig regular iPod. So I don't understand. This price differential cannot be right, not unless people just like the smaller size. Along with that, there's going to be a 2 gig shuffle coming out, which we're not I'm not too surprised about. And they're saying, in the course, and we talked about this on the last show, that the iTunes phone is going to be either in a 256 or a 512 megabyte capacity. I think I've already said my thoughts on that. That's going to be, that's kind of dumb. I did find some humor in an article that talks about high-tech parking meters. And I don't know if any of you are in a city that does this or not, but they've actually are phasing out coin-operated parking meters, and they're putting in a high-tech meter that is going to actually has sensors that run into the parking spot that can tell if the car has moved and has new incremental pricing, and it will even call home when the when it's expired, as so far as your change. You know, you put in a buck and you're only supposed to be in an hour. In an hour and 1 minute, it starts sending a message back to the person that's going to come around and give you a ticket. So keep your eyes open for these high-tech meters. If you have them in your communities, I'd sure love a couple of cool pictures of one and see what they look like. And they've got little computers in them. So no more. We, you know, I know many times, how many of you guys have put money in a parking meter? So, okay, I got $3. That's enough for 30 minutes. I can get there and back. And you get back and it's expired. And luckily, you have not gotten a ticket, and usually you can get away with it a little bit, as you know, just basically rolling dice. But gosh, this thing's, it won't be too long. These things will have a camera in them, and they'll take a picture of your car and automatically have a ticket waiting for you when you get back there. Can you imagine that, walking up and the meter says, do not move, please take your ticket? All right, how many of you drive Toyotas? Apparently, the Japanese Toyotas are going to be equipped with networked anti-theft cameras. Now, I don't think there's too many carjackings that go on in Japan, based upon everything that I have observed from spending a great deal of time over there. But just the same, they are rolling out vehicles that have cameras in them that, when they are stolen, take a picture of the would-be thief and then sends that back to the security center. Apparently, these are not available in the United States yet, but I know very, very well that this has to be a prelude to sending these vehicles to the United States, because cars just don't get hijacked or carjacked or even stolen very much in Japan, let alone. So I think this is a definite feature that you're going to start seeing in Toyotas in the near future. So, but can you, takes a picture of you. That's funny. Okay, I've got, there's some predictions going on that because broadband take-up is starting to slow down, in that They're not seeing the growth rates that they saw before. And with an estimated 37.5 million people already subscribed to broadband, which is roughly a third of the total homes in the United States, that the growth rate where cable companies are going to be pushing, you know, to get people to subscribe, you know, this reached that critical mass point where they're probably going to spend a lot more on a per customer basis. But the prediction is now, and it's, we're starting to see it in some of the markets, is where premium services are starting to be offered, whereas SBC and Bell's have actually upped the speeds in DSL, etc. I'd like to see, and we know that Cox has already turned out a higher high-speed connection. I just wonder, has anybody heard what Time Warner's plans is? Because, you know, they've got a huge broadband market, and I hear very little in the news about them increasing the speeds of base services, you know, either for free or for an upgrade price. I had heard at one time that there was a few communities, but I haven't heard very much beyond that. So if you've heard anything, hey, send me an email. Let me know if you've got that in your area. Okay, another cool idea that has been proposed, and it's a pretty brilliant idea, really. And I found it over at a website called Fractals of Change. I actually found the link off another website. Can't remember which one it was exactly. I apologize about that in advance. But since all of these people's phones are out in New Orleans and throughout Mississippi and Alabama, there's an idea that's been proposed to virtualize those telephone numbers for the short term so that, you know, basically people would be able to get those forwarded virtually to a shelter or to a voicemail box or something similar. So, of course, that would take some FCC intervention. And, you know, the FCC's obviously authorized these guys to go in there with that low-power FM system. So why can't they, you know, make the Bells move in a hurry to, you know, get the Bells to virtualize these lines? So it's a good idea. I don't know if anyone in the FCC has given this any thought. I think those of you that if you have anybody in the within the FCC that you know, point them towards this. I think this is a great idea. This would allow people to get their numbers up and running. This would be businesses, individuals. You know, I know that they can call the Bells and have that all redirected. But you know, why do that? Why not make it so that you can, with a flick of a switch, make that a virtual telephone number, forward it to either one of the voice IP services that are available today, or even just a voicemail for the time being, so that people can get messages back and forth. Along with that, there was another article that talked about an idea where there is a, it's called Contact Loved Ones. And what they have done, and I'm going to read straight from the website. It says, for example, Jane is looking for a missing father. She calls the CLL's toll-free number. This is Contact Loved Ones, a toll-free number, and enters his usual telephone number. She then can leave a voice message for him or listen to messages from him. So when her father calls the toll-free number, he enters his own number. He can then leave a message for other callers to hear him say he's safe and how he can be contacted, or he can listen to the messages left for him, vice versa, etc. So they put this in place over at Contact Loved Ones, and it's the actual domain, I believe, is contactlovedones.com. It's actually contactloved, L-O-V-E-D, ones.org. Along with that, of course, we know that the People Finder site is up. So, pretty cool ideas. And he's also looking for toll-free numbers, inbound telephone connections, voice IP, additional telephony servers, payphone connections, and internet bandwidth. So if you can help out there, this is on O'Malley's broadband blog. Put the link up in the show notes. Anybody out there that can help, please do so. Additionally, if you are a system administrator, or you are a network engineer or info security specialist, the Red Cross needs volunteers with those skills that would be willing to assist in the design and implementation of network of internet kiosks. So they're trying to put kiosks in, of course, all the different shelters, of course. So this kind of continues on with some of the idea that I had earlier talking about doing Skype outcall stuff. So there's a lot of movement there. This is courtesy of Kevin Devin's In the Trenches website and blog. All right, what else do I have? Oh, in space news, did you guys hear there's been a couple of computer crashes out there by Mars? One of them was on one of the Mars rovers. I believe Opportunity had a situation where the computers went into safe mode, and they've slowly brought the system back on. But Opportunity and Spirit are continuing to do good science out there on Mars, taking great pictures. Matter of fact, Spirit is on top of a huge hill right now and has actually took the most amazing panorama. If you get over to the Geek News Central website, there's a link to it. So don't forget that our taxpayer dollars are at work out there. I think we're at 510 days past warranty on those two rovers. Of course, Opportunity having a few issues with its operating system right now, but they are slowly but surely getting that back online. Additionally, the Mars Global Surveyor spacecraft has some major issues. It was transferring from a secondary computer to a primary, and something happened. The system crashed or whatever, but it went into safe mode now, and they are in the mode of trying to get that system back up and online. It has a critical appointment on the 10th of September with they want to do a photography opportunity. To take a picture of where the Polar Lander crashed in 1999. And because that Polar Lander is at the top of Mars, it has a lot of time of the year that it's in darkness. So this is one of the few opportunities. And they say the next one is in 2 years. So scientists are rushing to get that, to get the spacecraft back online and get it going. Well, you know, what's the deal? You know, these operating systems, you know, obviously, no operating system is perfect, but these operating systems that are running on these spacecraft are very, very minimal builds. They really are. They have very few things that can go wrong. That's why they've been traditionally very reliable. But I guess, you know, they're subject to the same issues, but luckily they're able to get them in a safe mode and allow for some recovery, even though it's a little bit slower. There's a great interview up on p2pnet.net, and we talked about this this lady that is a mother who is becoming the first person to stand up to the RIAA and is basically telling them, no, I'm not going to pay the money that you are demanding. I'm going to go to court with you. And there's a great interview in here from her, and she's very sincere talking about her positions, and she's going to need some help. So those of you that have a beef with the RIAA and want to help out her, help her out in her defense fund, she is going to be setting up some sort of an e-payment account. It's not in work right now to help her out. It's not available yet to make contributions to it. But she went through the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and she has, I believe, one of their lawyers or one that was referred to her by the EFF. So, great interview and a lot of links from this page. So, I'll let you check that out in the show notes. Okay, what else do I have here? Okay, hey, question for those of you out there that like to load, maybe some of you that are have Japanese wives, or you're familiar with how to get alternate versions of applications. I want to load the Japanese version of iTunes on a computer here because she wants to be able to buy Japanese songs from the music store, and she also wants to be able to get podcasts. You know what? She hasn't been listening to a lot of podcasts up until now, but for some reason, I think last Friday night, the light came on, and I hooked her up and was able to find a lot of Japanese podcasts by just going through the normal search engines and stuff. But she got hooked up and is downloading podcasts now, And she's got a Shuffle that she uses primarily, and I'm probably end up going to get her a regular iPod here. But I thought it was pretty comical. She's just like, we're driving down the road the other day, and she was plugged in with one ear listening to some Japanese podcast. And she says, oh, this is so cool. I'm like, well, it's been a year, and you finally got it. You finally really figured it out. And so it's kind of nice to see her get hooked. She hadn't been, you know, she'd listened to a few, and it's kind of, okay, whatever. But now that she can listen to some in her native tongue, she's, of course, quite excited. But if any of you know how to get that version loaded on an American Windows, let me know. All right, really do. If you have any links or any suggestions, or if there's a trick that you can use to change options to make it a certain language, I may be missing it, and if you can point it out, send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, hey, we made it to 45 minutes. Can't believe it. But this is all the content I have tonight. I know we talked a lot about some solutions for Hurricane Katrina survivors and those that have been displaced, and I hope that you support us in trying to get some Skype Out credits and some computer gear possibly purchased for you know, for some shelter, some of the smaller shelters in the Houston and Louisiana area. Anything you can do to support us, that would be great. If not, you know, if you've already supported through your own means, also applaud you for doing that. You can, hey, send us comments to our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can reach me, obviously, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can Skype me at Geek News Central. We will be back, of course, with our next show on Friday. We're getting close to that 100th show, and I'm starting to work on the outline of the actual show itself. I'm pretty excited about it. We're going to have some cool prizes to give away, so make sure you get signed up to the mailing list. And thanks for all of you that are supporting our sponsors, etc. I think that's all I've got. I do have a couple promos tonight. I'll get those knocked out. It looks like we got about 2 minutes worth. And you can send me your promo to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Try to keep the promo under a minute. I prefer 30 to 45 seconds. That way I can get a bunch of people's played on each show. And I do want to thank you for staying subscribed and being part of our family here. Please keep your thoughts towards those that are have been displaced, and do what you can to help out. I know you're a great group of geeks, and I want to thank you again. Aloha, and we'll see you on Friday, and kick up a promo here, and we'll call it a night.
Hi, I'm Wayne Henderson, and I want to let you know that my new Tuning In with Wayne Henderson podcast is finally here. I'll be discussing a variety of topics, including Ford Mustangs, the Green Bay Packers, voiceover acting, stupid things heard on mainstream radio, switching from using a PC to an Apple Macintosh system, the gripe of the week, and hopefully a lot of listener feedback. And I do it all from the cozy confines of the Inland Empire in sunny Southern California. You can subscribe to the Tuning In with Wayne Henderson podcast through your iTunes or iPodder programs, or you can direct download the show through my website at whpodcast.com. Either way, please be sure to check out the Tuning In with Wayne Henderson podcast. Rated E for everyone.
It's wedding season, kid.
Hi, this is Kevin Crossman from the Frat Pack Podcast. You know the Frat Pack, all those guys in those comedy movies that always appear in each other's movies. Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, Owen, and Luke Wilson. Our podcast covers all those guys, plus other related movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, stuff that Jack Black is doing, and more. We play music, we have interviews, we have listener feedback and reviews of these movies and more. Come listen to our podcast at www.fratpackpodcast.com.
Grab that net and catch that beautiful butterfly, pal.
Hello, everyone, and we'll see you on Friday. Have a great week, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.